So yeah, something that was said at a, I went to the Dried Up documentary, which is a film, a short 30-minute film about the state of the drought in southern Alberta, made by Kevin Van Tighem and a few others. The best long-term investment we can make is in the water security of the eastern slopes and southern Alberta. And then I've been reflecting on these terms. If you have no water, we have no beer. If we have no beef, we have no oil. We have no economy and no life. Like if we damage our water sources and yeah, Jenny, you asked me to talk about this 10-kilometer strip that is essentially the source of 95% of all of the water in southern Alberta. And areas like Banff and Kananaskis, there's no extraction and those forests are intact, almost too intact. The other areas are over disturbed. Forestry, there's oil and gas, there's roads. There's cattle, and all these things drastically affect the ecological services that water sheds to store and filter water that for our major cities, for agriculture, for oil and gas extraction, for making beer. With climate change, with land use decisions, we are on a trajectory to have a lot less water. I don't think your average Albertan is feeling it, but definitely farmers, ranchers, municipal decision makers, oil and gas industry, all these kind of people that require water to make their job and their responsibilities work are definitely worried. We were originally calling for a moratorium and policy, but we are now advocating for restoration of headwaters and ecosystem services in the headwaters. All this stuff I've said is a lot of doom and gloom. But I think the key part to shift the tide is inspiring people with a vision of a brighter future and how they can get involved. There's a lot of work to be done, like actual hands-on work, but also organizing and changing our mindsets and speaking with our friends and family about the situation, but also giving them providing opportunities. So something.
People cannot really appreciate the open spaces and the natural environment unless they have the opportunity to experience it. And go to our website, visit the park. There's a road allowance that extends from Cochrane up to the park. It's a public road allowance, and if people are inclined to walk up there, it's available for walking. It's bordered on both sides by private lands, and so if people are inclined to walk up there, we'd encourage them to make sure that they respect that private land. It's only 70 acres. It sees a quarter of a million people a year or more. It needs to be recognized and it needs to be protected. It needs to be expanded because it's being loved to death. It needs further respect. We've put up on our website a map that illustrates the potential gravel production that we'll see out of this area over the next, 40 years, because gravel production is an extended process. From the gravel industry's perspective, it's a short-term enterprise, but it's terminal. We won't see the end of these gravel operations in our lifetime, and I don't suspect my children will see the end of them. When these gravel operations are complete, there could be up to 1,000 acres of depressions, up to 25 meters deep. And many of them, I believe, will have end pit lakes, which means they're depressions that collect water. Then whatever contaminants reside on that landscape flow in the groundwater.
We live right adjoining practically the prospective gravel pits next to Big Hill Springs Provincial Park. Six that are immediately next to the headwaters of the Big Hill Springs Provincial Park. The one that has been approved and is under appeal right now, both by the Preservation Society and myself and some others, it's 800 meters away from the headwaters of the springs. These springs feed the Big Hill Creek, which then empties into the Bow River. So we're talking pristine water, number four or something, spring in Canada. So it's a very important spring. The Rocky View just said, go ahead. And now it went to Alberta Environmental Protection and they approved it. And there's been appeals. And the Preservation Society went for a stay, so as they wouldn't, but they allowed them to start anyway. There's 13 wetlands on that one piece of property, the one Mountain Ash property, and that's being allowed to just be wiped out in order to make a berm to protect from dust and that to our properties, not the park. But everything that goes before the board or before the county and then AEP gets approved. And yet AEP says it's okay. And they'll monitor, and if it contaminates the water, well, then they'll be asked to stop at that point. But water doesn't be decontaminated that easily. And the board has said that stopping Mountain Ash would be too sort of expensive or difficult for them or something. Like, they shouldn't have started in the first place.
They dug a berm and they said they couldn't allow a stay because they had already done the work.
There was an ARP meeting, and then the county, the group was supposed to reach a consensus, and they only agreed on 3 points between the industry and them. But the industry does not believe in setbacks. We talked about being 800 meters from the headwater, 1 meter down. They don't believe in this. The group thought they should provide some money, increase the levy from 40 cents a ton of gravel, but give it to the groups. They don't want to support these groups at all. Also, there was no agreement at all on cumulative impacts. Interesting, as Rocky View County had done a biophysical attribute rating the biodiversity, the water, and so on in 2003. And this wasn't provided to the group or to the council.
We have some private pits by us, as well as a municipal gravel pit. We are in Red Deer County, and in our situation, we've ended up having multiple public hearings. In 2020, they passed it and added the land beside us into the gravel overlay district. We were told the same as Dale and Adele, that we had no appeal option. What ended up then happening, about 2 weeks after the bylaw got overturned, they reapplied for the exact same bylaw. And we dealt with that for another 2 years, came up under three different bylaws. And then in July of last year, the council ended up voting it down because we're immediately adjacent to the Red Deer River, and the land beside us has been designated as an environmentally significant area. And there was concerns, given its proximity to our water well, that we would lose our water well. In 2022, we discovered our water well was contaminated during this whole process. It was unknown what the cause was. But coincidentally, the municipal gravel pit uphill from us had been digging what appears to be in the groundwater. You can see it from satellite imagery. As they were expanding their operations and getting further in the water, we saw turbidity starting in our water. And then it became contaminated and not drinkable. The municipality filed for a Water Act application to mine in the groundwater. They've applied now to have end pit lakes. It was approved, even though we sent in a statement of concern. And we've now filed that with the Alberta Environmental Appeals Board. And we're actually going to mediation with that next week.
A little bit of history on that. Back in about 97, 98, a previous owner had applied to mine this same piece. And it was approved at the county level. We appealed it. County upheld the approval, but told them they had to measure our water table or to commit to staying above it. And the water table at that particular year came in at 2.7 meters below the surface. And they did a little digging, and before they hit gravel, they hit water. So they took their toys and went home. And then subsequently sold it to the current owners, who basically said, well, we know better. We can do it better. We'll do it just fine. This whole area is a very valuable aquifer that feeds downstream users, ourselves and downstream users. And Dale and her family have been in this contest of wits long before we came, and they've been kind of our guiding force. But there's a small group of us here who are currently under have the decision made by Alberta Environment under appeal. Ironically, we had to have our statements of concern in in August of 2020, and the day after the morning after the election last spring, we got the notice that it had been approved. Can you spell disingenuous?
They divided the province into these WPACs, Watershed Planning and Advisory Committees, and I thought we did some pretty good work there. We got a bunch of the WPACs on the South Sask Basin to send in a joint letter that extolled how wonderful floodplains are and sent a lot of scientific information in for staying back from the river. The province has spent lots and lots of our money on stepping back from the river and all kinds of different, like on propaganda, where everybody should protect the water, and yet they won't protect the water themselves. We're all trying to work together here to get a voice that can be heard, because of the way we are right now, we're just victims on the landscape being picked off one by one. Our rights are being trampled all over. Nobody wants to listen to us. And they have these ridiculous excuses, wordsmithing, water management, not river water management. They do everything in silo, not cumulative like it's supposed to be. We have laws, Cumulative Impact Assessment Act. For some reason, they're just ignored.
Yes, my name is Neil Connor. My wife, Joyce.
Hi.
We all live in the South Bedugul Flats area, which is west of Sundre and south of Highway 584 and north of the Red Deer River. Our area structure plan is pretty well within roughly 6 kilometer square area. There's well over 350 families in this area. There's a West Fraser, a lumber manufacturer, a golf course, and some three-season homeowners. There's about 400 of them. And we're surrounded by eight gravel pits now. And within this area, each one of these pits has got what I would call a dark side to it. Basically, we have three pits that are into the water table, and they're pushing frack water out of these three pits to the tune of probably, we calculated with their temporary diversion licenses, about 680,000 cubic meters of estimated water for this year. We're on the headwaters of the Red Deer River. The aquifers in this area, they flow bidirectional, multi-bidirectional between the Red Deer River and the Bearberry Creek, which lies to the north of us. Basically, it's an alluvial aquifer. To this date, the municipal or Mountain View County has passed the area structure plan without any studies.
Wildlife species, flood zone.
There's no studies whatsoever presented with this.
We've addressed the AER and complaints. We've addressed them through the AEP. Once I discovered contamination in my water well, there's probably 8 different water wells now out here out of 350 different families that we know have gotten proper AHS testing done, toxicology and chemistry testing on their water wells, and they've come back, toxicology has come back contaminated, and that's so far the people that have actually done water well testing. There's 300 different families so far that everyone needs to get their water well tested. They could all have water well contamination and they're not even aware of it. So we're going to resurrect South MacDougall Flats Area Protection Society, and we're also going to, from an accounting perspective, that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to start down by the local mailboxes and start providing pamphlets to get people to get their water wells tested with a sense of urgency, because water wells are contaminated in this area. So try to get that going, I guess, sort of an awareness. So that's some of the things that's going to happen. Some other things that we've tried to address with the municipality is the accumulative effects of these 8 gravel pits in 6 kilometers.
There's 2 types of decisions at the municipal level. So some of those decisions would be made their political decisions, for example, to pass a bylaw. So you could compare the county council to the legislature of Alberta. They're passing a law and they have broad discretion to do so. So councillors are elected to pass laws, but if they're also on a municipal appeal board or a municipal development board, those decisions have to be according to fact and law, not what you want or what you think your constituents might like. You need also a provincial statutory approval. So things like gravel mining are illegal unless you get an approval from an appropriate body to conduct an otherwise illegal activity. This case would come from Alberta Environment and Protected Areas. Terms and conditions of approval are important. So it's one thing to intervene and try to get a project stopped. Quite often you can get terms and conditions of approval and who has the right to make which decisions. And administrative law is the most complex area of law in our country and most grossly misunderstood, because we're supposed to have this separation between the administrative branches and elected branches of government and the judicial branches of government. That's a basic tenet of democracy that frankly is being totally ignored in this province. So if you want to do it, they won't let you do it. But if industry wants to do it, no problem at all. We're a total banana republic, lawless province. Let's be clear. They are being interfered with.
We need to do in education is let go of ego. One thing that kills our families all the time is hearing like, oh, Alberta had world-class education, and the rest of us are sitting there banging our heads against the wall saying, for who? We know standardized testing is not the best tool for these kids. We know that there are things that can test these kids on their way of learning. We got to go back to Finland. And we take a little trip to Finland and we learn that they were actually having a lot of problems with their education system, and they were having a lot of problems with their kids. And they were actually putting in curfews and they were trying all these things and it wasn't working. And they were like, you know what? We have to start from the ground. So they flipped their education system. Children are tested much earlier for learning disabilities and such and given programs right away. Kids are put into programs that fit their style of learning. So, you know, instead of it being based on grade one and kindergarten and this, they're based on like your level this for English. So you're going to be with these kids. And you might have a variant age around there, like 6, 7, 8 even. Actually, no, it would be 7, 8, 9. They don't really start any of that until age 7, actually. They don't really start reading until age 7. Because then it's developmentally appropriate, they find. And again, they're not perfect. I'm not going to shout that Finland's perfect. But I do know that it has worked for many, and I know that it's worked well. So I have to look at Alberta and say, you know, there's obviously parts of these education systems like Finland. There are many others that are working well. Why can we not take those parts that we know work well and transition it here and make it our own?